Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise.
Howdy, mi hermanos y hermanas. Soy Dan Kelly, escritor y director, y hablo un poco español. Gracias por su atención. E, this is the Daughter of Godcast, stories of the making of the post-apocalyptic romantic comedy featurette Daughter of God. 11, well, maybe 12 years in the making since this gentle release continues through 2017. Pre-production and primary shooting happened in 2006, but I cast the die in 2005. When I was a kid growing up in Pound Ridge, New York, my older teen brothers, Steve and Mike, helped me understand the anatomy of golf balls. I'm not sure if today's golf balls are made the way they were in the 70s, but back then, if you carefully removed the dimpled plastic cover, there'd be a single strand of rubber wrapped around and around. We would get in the family station wagon, grab the rubber strand, and drop the ball out the back window, which in station wagons used to roll down. We would then drive the twisty, hilly roads, letting the golf ball skitter and unravel behind us. This usually required many miles of driving before the golf ball eventually unwound down to a hard, marble-sized, solid core. This is the sort of thing that teenagers did before first-person shooters and ubiquitous network porn. Boys unraveling golf balls behind a station wagon on rural roads evokes a Ray Bradbury innocence. Then we all grew up to be rocket captains on the Mars run, eventually raising our own little families in clean bungalows by lazy canals and red mountains. You can hit a golf ball pretty far on Mars. We are revisiting the latter half of 2012, more than halfway through the history between way back when and the blossoming now. We're dangling the dog story out the back window of our station wagon, and I expect we're going to unravel the whole thing. Another 30 or so episodes ahead, if we account for my segues, diversions, dubious spiritual ramblings, and ranty social commentary. We're still making history, winding more rubber even as we unravel. That's the space-time continuum for you. I caught a cold a few days back, which is the excuse I'm using for the delay of this week's episode. I was hoping I could be a little more perky before recording. Plus, 2012 had a lot going on. And the dog goings on in March and April of 2017 are inviting me to show up as more myself than ever. Daughter of God's gentle release is much bigger than this podcast, and mostly invisible, for now. In 10 or so weeks, I'll be summarizing the wildness happening right now. Future episodes are being born, even as these words nuzzle up to your cochlear. 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 That's a nice word. Cochlear. Cochlear. Crickets. Cochlear. Crickets. Crickets. Cochlear. There's no crickets yet. It's too early for crickets. Maybe by the end of this podcast, we'll be hearing crickets again. Crickets. Episode 031 of the Daughter of Godcast. Volunteers. Ebony! In March 2nd through the 12th, I drove back to New York City and then Philly for a series of reunitings. I saw the Tai Chi family, my gorgeous Africans, met up with Dave Crowley and Darcy Peck of Cowboy Wedding and Forest Fire fame in episode 021, and then drove down to Philly to see Marion, Jeongwoon, and their son Ari, whose magic quilt encompasses all of Lake Michigan from episode 025. I enjoyed urban camping in the Odyssey, complete with composting toilet. The habits of Hello World persisting, artifacts of a sustainable civilization insinuating themselves into our enhanced everyday. 2012, year in creation. Posted on January 5th, 2012 by Dan from holyboners.com. Heal back pelvic pain, basin stiffness. Reveal cause and discover slash implement protocol for repair. Physically robust. Feeling slash looking svelte and yummy. Daughter of God is finished. Ultimate Around Lake Michigan Expedition. Science fiction musical script and score slash lyrics. A feature well into production slash completed. Three sets of 15 handstand push-ups all the way down. Three sets of 20 pull-ups. Flying roll, horizontal. Sword form, Ru Yi form. Life arts, fully integrated. Gorgeous and conscious women delight in sharing life with me, especially consistent deep intimacy and affection. Snip. Production slash VFX crew established and working. M3 thriving and delegated. I have the ideal role. Memory sharp and quick. Festival awards. Global presence and project distribution. Profound yoga and Tai Chi practice. I had projected some pretty zany goals that January, extravagant and way abstract. By July, after family debacles, developing a roto-contractor infrastructure, expanding the sailing fleet, celebrating the boon of Ben Woody, and high-concept blogging, my goals were slightly less about outcomes and more about experience. This was a significant improvement from a magical perspective. Summer priorities. Posted on July 11, 2012 by Dan from holyboners.com. Before Lena Maud headed west, she grabbed the full set of Tony Robbins' Personal Power. I have taken the course about 10 times since the early 90s and suggested she give it a whirl. Admittedly, Tony is a little over the top, but his tools are effective. Lena and I had been talking about how polymaths prioritize. We even explored how we might go about developing a software assistant that could act like a dashboard for our priorities and goals. I'm excited to have her impressions of the material. I've been feeling a distinct momentum and sense of accomplishment, which is a little dangerous. It makes me want to look around for more stuff to do. My big list is beginning to feel a little unstructured. First priority is dog completion. Simple. Getting that wrapped by fall is still my primary focus. There are five categories. 1, dog. 2, staying strong and balanced. 3, getting organized and inventoried. 4, sharing joy. Strong and balanced. I lied. Maintaining and expanding my physical presence is actually my first priority. I'm pretty much at my goal of doing each of the following practices 2 to 3 times a week. Yoga, Tai Chi, tumbling or combat mime, and light freediving. Sustained action flows from staying strong. Well, hello, I'm here taking a little bit of remediating action. This is an aspirin. Aspirin. I love aspirin. So good. And it's not bear aspirin either. It's generic. So we're not supporting Bayer and Monsanto. I used to like Bayer as a company because they made nice aspirin. I love aspirin. I love dissolving it in my mouth. Dog. Next comes dog. I parted ways with the wacky VFX contractor Trace, New York, Bombay, in June and have yet to replace them. Ben and I have been slogging through the roto, but it's time to re-recruit if I'm serious about a fall finish. I myself will need to log 4 to 6 productive roto hours daily from mid-July through the end of August. Also, I've got to perfect welding jump cuts. That means buying Twixter, a powerful tweening application often used to convert GoPro footage to super slow motion for extreme sports videos. I'm out here, I'm sick, and I'm recording this podcast because I love you. I love you, and I know you're counting on this podcast every week to lift your spirits and energize you for the life on the earth. Life on the earth. Organized. Getting organized and inventoried was delayed last fall because of a snafu in the renovations at the shack, a fabrication space Patrick and I were working on. As of July, the shack is operational, and my organizational efforts are finally moving forward. Organization means having all the production equipment sorted and ready. Tools accessible, art materials like clay and paint sorted and available. And finally, the house itself requires renovation to support collaboration. The renovation shortlist includes new lofts for visiting VIPs, greenhouse, floor refinishing, mudding and trimming out the back room, executing the mosaic in the bathroom, and replacing uninsulated windows. Except for lofts, most of the house renovations could be postponed to the fall. If I have more lofts, I can allocate proprietary space to visiting artists and their families so that the house doesn't get completely cluttered with travel gear, toys, clothes, etc. If lofts were freestanding, they could be disassembled in the fall to allow for the back. Sharing joy. Sharing joy is about having 1 to 2 of Around Lake Michigan's vintage Hobie Cats operational, launching the raft as a high diving and free diving platform, making more opportunities to dance and inviting the tribe to soak up the good. Added 07-12-12. Blogging is another sharing of joy. It's also organization slash the Hobie fleet. So far, 3 H16s and 1 H14 needs love. With the exception of Hello World, they're all vintage 70s cats acquired this summer for cheap. The long-term plans are discussed below, but in this context of sharing joy, I'd like to have a couple on the lake by the end of July, when my brother's family shows up. Jim Barnes's H16 and my family's original H14 are mostly functional right now, so that would make a mini. The raft is a non-trivial undertaking with several steps. I need to locate the anchor in 15 feet of water, clean and prep the raft for painting, paint, erect a new cedar tower, put down a deck, and hook up solar nav lights. Shoot! Seeing the big raft out there would certainly be a magnet. For dance, I've just got to go to Traverse City weekly or invite folks over. Meryl and Alex are getting married in August, so that's a good excuse to gather. I'd love to have some visitors from New York City, but it's not totally feasible without lofts. Blogging spans several categories. Certainly, it's a sharing of joy. In this post, I've alluded to a vast backlog of topics. Zero APR credit cards for film finance, the arrival of Rosie, Save the Hobies, Around Lake Michigan Revised, The Shack, Animation Studio, Personal Archaeology, producing in collaboration with James and Jeff, incomparable Ben Woody. Jeff was down here talking about story, capital S, and he asked me how much I write. I wanted to answer a lot, but for the past month or two, I've only been blogging in my mind. The running narrative to my far-flung friends has revised around Lake Michigan. Remember sailing around Lake Michigan on Hello World, the 300-mile expeditions in 2009 and 2010? Will there be another circumnavigation attempt in 2013? What's this got to do with assembling a Hobie fleet? I've got a new concept that will both amp up the Round Lake Michigan epicness and tightly focus the premise. Previously, I was searching for artifacts of the emerging sustainable civilization, but all that's moot if there's a catastrophic failure of the current unsustainable infrastructure. Think Fukushima. So the new expeditions will be focused on neutralizing threats and facilitating a. The earlier expeditions demonstrated that navigating, sailing, arranging interviews, blogging, and making a feature doc is a little more than one man can handle, even if he is Dan Kelly. A team is wanted, a support crew, diverse talents and expertise. To support this new premise, I need to grab at least another 2 to 3 Hobie 16s locally before folks put them back into storage, fit out the shack for fiberglass work this winter, recruit a robust sailing slash support team, research the threats, and figure out how to take them offline safely.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow.
Miscellaneous. I've got to coordinate the Michigan Movie Makers Micro Movie Marathon happening on July 25th. Then there's the Michigan Movie Makers Party to organize for the Traverse City Film Festival. I'd also like to shoot the Secret Beaches project I've been scheming on with Sandra D in September.
There are also a smattering of informal collaborations, e.g. distractions. I had promised to cut a trailer for Patricia Noverall's Circuits, which is way overdue. James's Africa movie is attempting to suck me in, and I meet almost weekly to add to this family and friends, and that's a pretty crowded dance card. Conclusion. Here's an energy breakdown. 80% of my energy needs to flow to my top three objectives. Physical practice only requires a non-negotiable. Then 50% for dog and 20% for organization. A whopping 10% goes to sharing joy. 5% to Around Lake Michigan pre-production, and 5% to distractions. If I project a 14-hour workday, here's the hourly breakdown. Snip. The summer priorities also had some fanciful projections, and allocating my time by percentages was a little micromanagey for sure. In contrast to the January year in creation, summer priorities emphasize the why more than the what. Almost getting to the feelings I sought, which is the core of why. Just ask any Tony Robbins. I mentioned a family debacle in 030, which shifted my connections with my nephews. Jonathan and Patrick had been very much involved with Daughter of God, and I thought we'd ultimately form a family production slash post-production studio. That faded. They had their own dreams to discover and realize. For my part, I needed a much expanded cadre of collaborators to trade exotic memories, unfamiliar ideas, and diverse perspectives. I had to grow my team way beyond a couple of 20-somethings. Hi, ducks! I see ducks! I see ducks! There's scads of upbeat stories to explain the nephew exit, other than the obvious. Daughter of God was cursed. There had certainly been some significant fallings out since I started the project. I toyed with the image of dog as a juggernaut, plowing through my insecurities, breaking all the stagnant patterns, such as the seeking of self-worth through oblivious generosity. I might have believed my nephews, being full-on mutants too, were the only ones who could truly get me, join me on my journey. Eventually, I realized they were coming along more from loyalty and curiosity than a fierce passion. They had unique lives to live, adventures of their own to choose, seeking their own patches of sunlight. Volunteers. The summer of 2012. Internship of Ben Woody and our crazy animation experiments. Alex and Merrill getting married. The arrival of Rosie the Blue Water Sailboat. Lena visits before wandering out west. Hobie Cats showing up. The uproarious Come As You Will Be party. Freediving with Jason Loam and his monofin. Realizing the neighbors stole my anchor. Dog rejuvenated. Little by little, we get clear about what we want, what our life experience should be about. In the now, 2017, I emphasize action as joy, as an expression of feeling fully alive. Otherwise, I don't act. That doesn't mean everything has to be easy, because hard things can be fun. That's what she said. My experience depends upon my beliefs, my perspective. In 2012, I was coming along nicely. I was still scheming on outcomes, but I had recognized that taking action should never feel frustrating or crazy-making, especially if I was offering robust Dan Kelly action for free. Volunteering is at best a strategic distraction, siphoning a little power from what you care about most to facilitate some desired boon or coup. Worst case scenario, a hallucinated or extremely vague boon or coup. Volunteering could be just plain distraction, as demonstrated by my coordinating the Prospect Heights Community Farm in episode 020. Meow. Whoa. Since then, I had figured out how to make sure my distractions were mostly strategic, if not totally delicious. This may sound mercenary to those who believe service should be selfless. If so, I'm definitely getting my point across. My three distractions in the latter half of 2012 were the Michigan Movie Makers, the Traverse City Film Festival, and salvaging James Weston Schaberg's Ethiopia documentary. I volunteered myself and Ben, the intern, to edit a 3-minute festival highlights trailer for the Traverse City Film Festival video team, to be screened at the awards ceremony. I had been asked to lead the team the month prior, but I declined this honor, preferring to attend panels, watch movies, and generally enjoy myself. A day of editorial would get Ben and I credentials for the festival.
I also acknowledge the possibility that offering this gift might facilitate future collaborations between the Oblique, Traverse City Film Festival Management, and the Michigan Movie Makers. So there's a solid boon and a more vaporous one. From Dan Kelly, doorbell at subject, update, date, August 1st, 2012, to Jeff Gibbs, Jeff Gibbs TC at. Here's what Ben and I are up to during the festival. Wednesday, 8:30 a.m. arrive. 9:30, panel, Susan Sarandon. 12 o'clock, Jeff Gibbs, Secrets of Making a Blockbuster Documentary. 3 o'clock, Finding Your Story with Josh Khoury. 6 o'clock, Ai Weiwei. 9 o'clock, We Are Legion. Thursday, August 2nd. 8:30, arrive. 9:30, panel, Who's Laughing Now? 12 o'clock, Film School, Audio Tech. 1 to 6, Volunteer Edit. 5:30, Michigan Movie Makers Party. And midnight, Shorts at the Old Town Playhouse. Friday, August 3rd, 8:30, arrive. 9:30, panel, Michigan Film Commission. 3 o'clock, Best Acting Class Ever. 12, VHS. Saturday, August 4th, 8:30, arrive. 9:30, panel, Film is Dead, Long Live Floppy Disks. 12, Shorts, Fiction. 12 to 3, Volunteer Edit. 3 o'clock, Roundtable. 9 o'clock, Journey to Planet X. Sunday, August 5th, 9:30, panel, Wim Wenders, One-on-One with Michael Moore. 3 o'clock, Ashes of America.
Our plan for the festival included 7-plus hours of volunteer editorial. The best-laid plans of mice and men. Ben and I saw a lot of what we had planned, but in spite of my determination to keep the volunteer effort sane, we ended up having to stay up all night from Friday afternoon to Saturday morning to meet a bogus drop-dead deadline. And after going way beyond the call of duty, the redundant, obsequious layers between myself and the ultimate decision maker meant that our editorial efforts were ultimately scrapped. Mildly disheartening. Walking back to my car after that grueling, pointless slog, I met a beautiful festival attendee who, later that evening on the edge of a star-scattered interlock and lake, kissed me. Definitive proof of a cosmic balance. My community contribution was already colossal as acting spokesmodel and cat herder for the Michigan Movie Makers, our regional production affinity group and cinematic ecosystem, going on a year since revivification. The Traverse City Film Festival had this theoretically great community involvement scheme, a contest for bumpers, parodies of famous movie trailers promoting Traverse City that would play between the festival's feature selections. Making a bumper is a lot of work, and the selection criteria wasn't easy to suss out. Many, most of the bumpers entered were not selected. The Michigan Movie Makers wanted to recognize all that effort by screening the non-selected or booted bumpers. At the Micro Movie Marathon in July, we launched the Golden Boot Award. The Golden Boot went to the audience's favorite rejected or non-selected or booted bumper. This could also be thought of as a counterintuitive promotion of the Traverse City Film Festival. If entrants knew they could find an appreciative audience for their bumper, regardless of whether or not they were accepted by the Traverse City Film Festival, they'd be more likely to go to the trouble of making a bumper. The Golden Boot was in addition to the Micro Movie Marathon's three other audience favorite awards, based on poetic and often inscrutable criteria. In 2012, the Michigan Movie Makers met and edified our community. There is a workshop on crowdfunding by Andrea Claire Mayo, a Red Scarlet camera tour by Jeff Morgan, an interview with filmmaker Randy Vasquez by Rebecca Glofelty, Symptoms of Storytelling by Jeff Gibbs, a Postapalooza preview with Steve Julian, a satellite micromovie marathon at the Bioneers Conference, and a screening of Aaron Dennis's and Jakob Wheeler's collaboration with On the Ground, The People in the Olive, about planting olive trees in occupied Palestine, followed by an interview. The People in Olive was tangentially related to my rabbit brother James Weston Schaberg's stalled Ethiopia documentary, an earlier and more grandiose on-the-ground effort, all about building schools for the children of coffee farmers. Where's my son? Son! Come on, son! In a karmic twist, James asked me to produce the project in early 2012 and help him find a way to finish. Originally conceived as promotional fluff for On the Ground's agenda, Documenting in Ethiopia had rocked James's world. He yearned to translate his experience and insight. Documentary titan Jeff Gibbs suggested we put James back into the story, moving him out from behind the camera. James was catching static from on the ground, the organizers of the Ethiopia trip. 2 years waiting, and now they wanted all his footage. Legal action hinted at. I did my best to soothe while advocating for James's vision. Aaron and Jakob had done a much better job of preparing for their project than James had. Also, on the ground had become more realistic about what they could expect from a low-budget documentary. The People in the Olive was a wonderful achievement for all involved, a tribute to our region's collaborative chutzpah. The Ethiopia movie is still in James's queue, maybe. I've taken 12 years to make Daughter of God, so James still has plenty of time to finish, as far as I'm concerned. While we're discussing volunteering, I'd better mention my micro-budget commercial project, which was instigated by Ben. His pal Danny was a painter at a local body shop, and Ben pitched the idea for a repair time-lapse to the owners, Reagan and Camille Frickson. They agreed to $1,000 all-inclusive to document a week-long repair, 24 hours total labor time. This would just cover the cost of Ben. We ran a GoPro in an armored case I fabricated to keep overspray and dust off the lens. Ben's job was to keep in touch with the shop and move the GoPro to cover the various stages of repair. The fabulous Fogras agreed to lend a music track, and the final edit went public on September 24th with a robust press release, which was reprinted pretty much verbatim in the Benzie Record Patriot, Fame. 5 years later, 4,117 views and counting. Not exactly viral, but certainly a prime number. And hey, 4,000 plus views. That's 4 times more than 1,000 and 400 times more than 10. The shack fabrication space was completed in July. Patrick decided he needed more room for his Frankenstein race car project and bugged out. I had some steel fabricated for big rolling shelves and started getting organized. I finally bought my own Dido light kit, having lusted for them since shooting with Martines aboard the Alexander Henry in 2006. I also acquired a Canon T3i and Dragon Frame animation software. We're about to tie a ribbon around this episode, 03131, a prime number, divisible only by itself and one, if you're talking natural numbers. This is not the first episode number possessing primality, but this posting almost coincides with the day of the month. If you take the position that coincidences are trivial, then this pattern of episode 31 on day 31 of March is not a hint, not a friendly nudge. There's no reason to pay special attention or allocate extra processing. Even a guy like me, who's tuned to coincidence, even I don't think this 31-31 warrants notice. We all have unique criteria for paying attention, for deciding what's a signal and what's noise. Crows cawing, sunlight busting through clouds, words on a passing billboard might be redolent with meaning for some and utter static to others. How do you know what to rapidly attend to and what to blissfully ignore? We seek pleasure and avoid pain, supposedly, but cogent arguments can be made for opposite strategies, like living for the moment versus delayed gratification. I wonder what Walter Mischel's marshmallow experiments were really all about. Self-control or beliefs? Beautifully ambiguous. Last week's episode 030 was titled Donut. That was foreshadowing this next mini-story from the Deep Archive. A Story a Day, August 30th. Posted on August 30th, 2012 by Dan from holyboners.com. Having safely landed his ship on the surface of the strange planet, Micro Mazzacco secures the bridge with a flick of his mighty gauntleted wrist. All systems spin down in a satisfying whir of mysterious technology. Not mysterious to Micro, of course, as he is the ship's master. He exudes weary confidence as he rises from the pressure couch and grabs a syntho donut.
Another day securing the Alliance for freedom, he mutters, not without sarcasm.
Suddenly, the entire cabin is blasted into its constituent atoms. Micro is likewise negated as a coherent entity and scattered every which way. A sleek, star-faring vessel and its intrepid commander are now but a thin smear of vapor slithering across a desolate, rocky landscape. In their place, slightly sunken in the powdery, sterilized dross, a single, intact syntho donut. Or is it? You've been listening to the Daughter of Godcast, episode 031, Volunteers, and my name is Dan Kelly, or Shri Fuji Split, spelled Shri Fugisplit, but pronounced Shri Fuji Split in the ancient Assyrian. We've got a crack posse of Brahmin scholars working on the Sanskrit translation. Next week, we'll ride the Daughter of God wave to the end of 2012. More mountains of water rising up, gently, slowly, inexorably. Surf's up! Me, 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 me! Okay.